The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
What does leadership really look like? On The Power of Advice, a new podcast series from Capital Group, you'll hear from athletes, entrepreneurs, and executives who've led on the field, in the boardroom, and in their communities. It's not about titles. It's about impact. Discover what drives them and the advice they carry forward. Subscribe and start listening today. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Now, usually I don't get intimidated, but I was a little nervous with Daniel Murphy. He's such a great player, and, you know, I was a critical at times, so I figured, hey, we got Josh in studio, maybe soften Murph up a little bit as we have him on to talk about David, right? Daniel, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, Sal, how are you doing? I see you got a ringer in there. Satin. Satin's on the menu today, huh?
Satin's on the menu today. Yeah, and I can't wait to get into your fantasy football exploits. We'll do that, but first, what does it mean to see your buddy, your former teammate, have his number 5 retire tomorrow?
Oh, man, I was listening and watching like Evan Roberts' podcast, and he went down like the top 15 moments in David's career, and one, to see how long his career spanned here in New York. Like, he touched just these different generations of players. It's Johnny Franco, you know, all the way to, I think he played with Nimmo, if I'm not mistaken, as well. So like, he's just touched, you know, over a quarter century at the least of the Mets. And I think selfishly, I'm just so happy and grateful to have been a teammate with him, because he made everyone else around him so much better, and he did it selflessly and he did it sincerely. And that's not always the case. And so I just really have been trying to think about the words and how I want to take this in and celebrate David's achievements that are just wildly worth celebrating. And it's really just a lot of gratitude that I was able to be a part of, you know, a couple years of it.
And I felt like with you, Murph, like in my mind, you're more City Field Mets and later career David, right? But you were here early. You were there in 2008. Even if it were just for 49 games, you burst onto the scene with that bat of yours. You got to know a younger David. Speak to the evolution of what you saw from 2008 when you first came up to where it ended with David Wright in 2015 with you.
Yeah, it started. I mean, I snuck in the back door of that pennant race in 2008. Nick Evans and myself out there falling down in left field. If I may, Sal, like, I still remember the first time I ever got a chance to meet David was in 2007, heading into spring training, but before it. And I believe that, I know it was him and Delgado and Beltran and Willie Randolph. I think they were heading down to Puerto Rico, if I'm not mistaken. And so they had like just this little 2-day mini camp in St. Lucie. And it was the first time I had gotten to be around David. And I had never been to camp before, had just signed in 06. And I'm almost certain they dressed in the big league clubhouse in spring training, and we all came out of the minor league. And so, like, we get on field 6, you know, back in the parking lot, and, like, here come these wolves, like Delgado, Beltran, and then there's number 5. And so the way he carried himself, I think, with this quiet confidence that you knew how good he was, but he didn't have to tell you how good he was. And then just the freedom at which he played, I always envy David because I'm kind of a tinkerer myself. Like, I'm quite analytical and can just be paralysis by analysis. And David played the game the way I saw it, like a child plays the game. He was just so supremely skilled. And so I really had envy for that. And when I watch my boys play now, I'm like, how you move and you play just like David. Like, I would try to talk to mechanics with David. And he'd be like, I'm just trying to get a good pitch to hit and hit this thing as hard as I can. Come to find out, that was the same thing Ted Williams wanted to do, too, when he asked Roger Hornsby what it takes to be a great hitter. He said, get a good ball to hit. So I probably should have listened a little bit closer to him. But that's, like, my memories of David are someone that at such a young age was able to take over, like, an organization, lead it. And then I don't want to say I forget the productivity, but I go back to Fangraphs and look at his, like, the back of his baseball card. Like, these years he put together in 05, 06, 07, 08 are monster years. Like, monsters. He's running. He's hitting home runs. He's driving people in. I remember David one time talking about his goal for each season was, I want to drive in 100 and score 100. I'm like, man, you want to touch 100. You want to touch home plate 100 times for your teammates. Like, that's awesome. That's a selfless act to me. So, long-winded answer to just sing the praises of my captain.
Murph, don't you think that he is – I think what people don't talk about enough is how good of an athlete he was away from, like, you know, eye hand. Like, you and I and, like, you know, some of these, like, slow gentlemen. Like, you know, we had good eye hand coordination. But David was kind of a freak athlete that most of us didn't have. Like, you know, he was stealing 20, 30 bases and whatnot.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Yeah, like David could go, and it's interesting you say that. So I was watching Ken Burns' documentary on baseball, and they got to talking about Honus Wagner, and they said that his legs moved as if in the fashion of a propeller. And I can remember vividly one game, David hit one of those bullets that he hits almost kind of up the middle, but the shortstop dives for it. Like, he thinks he can make a play. But once it gets by him, you realize that ball has been waffled, and it's splitting the gap now in left center. So David has a choice to make. You know, am I going to turn this single, you know, into a double? And I remember he came around first base, and we've got the first base dugout at Citi Field. And I remember his leg turning, honestly, like the fashion of propeller. And as soon as I heard that quote, I was like, oh, snap, I got to play with Honus Wagner for a little bit. Like, it can be easy to forget because of how powerful he is that he would run, too. Like, David would score from first for you. Oh, my goodness, you don't want nobody on first base if you need an RBI and a run scored. Like, David will score from first on a double. And to me, like, running the bases is what David did in his career. Like, he would go and grab a stolen base when he needed to, score from first on a double, score from second on a base hit. And, like, so, yeah, David is, he could really move.
Murph,
like, really move.
Murph, you're a treat here. Listening to you is bringing a smile to my face, but I got to be honest. Ken Burns, Evan Roberts, I mean, we got to get you back in uniform here. You got too much time on your hands watching all this baseball stuff and listening to Evan Roberts' podcast.
They're passing out education on YouTube if we're willing to just put our mitts on it. So that's what I've been doing lately. I love baseball, so I'm kind of a weirdo.
No, but we love you for it. You'll be participating in the Mets alumni game coming September. Where are we at with that?
Unfortunately, I'm not. I ended up committing to an old man home run derby where Michael Kadire is my teammate. And it's been fun to see. I got to watch a bit of the documentary. I haven't finished it yet, but to see Cuddy on there. And all the faces from David's past and the teammates. So a long-winded answer to say, no, I'm not going to make it. I wanted to and planned to. It ended up being on the exact day. Saying no to Jay Horowitz is about the hardest thing to do on this planet, but unfortunately had to.
And that's why I got the nod south. So many people.
Here we go.
So many people have acted out, and then all of a sudden I get that call from Jay. And, you know, that's
what
we're
a good teammate, Murph. Yeah.
And people helping people.
Yeah, exactly.
People helping people.
What's your favorite moment? You talked about the Evan Roberts podcast. I'll be doing my power up coming up later of David Wright's best moments. What's yours, Murph? You were there for a lot of the great ones. Maybe all of them, as a matter of fact. Give me your number one.
All right. So honestly, like the home run in the World Series is an awesome. I go back to him scoring from first against the Nets. Like, we're in their house. So we had just got done sweeping them at home. I think we took 2 out of 3 from the Marlins, and now we're in D.C. And it's like, this is the series of a turning point here for the NL East. And when he comes rolling into home, because I think we've got like a 3-run lead. And now as I'm talking about it, David used to say as well, too, about base running is like when you get up on a team, you get aggressive and you try to stomp on them. You know what I mean? Like really force the issue when you get a lead. So we've got like a 2-run lead. Boom, plug one in the gap. I think Cespedes hits one in the right center field gap. David comes flying around. You know his back is broken. Like the whole documentary explains like what he went through. We got to see it firsthand of what he put himself through to just to get out there at 7 o'clock. And when he slams into home and hits that fist pump, like as a teammate and as someone is just like that, that's our guy. Like that's our captain. And here we are in their house against a division rival, and he just stamped it. Bang. Like here we are. We're coming. We're already here. And so I really felt like it was almost beyond the run scored. It was more like we've got other places that we're planning on getting to. And, you know, this is kind of just a step in that direction. And just the intensity and like almost the how much you knew he cared. It was almost like a release, I think. I don't know if it was for him, but it was for me. It was like a pressure was taken off that we're in this race. But we're all in it together, and we've got our captain bet.
Yeah,
so that one is like, yeah.
All the work he put in, that euphoric fist pump, who could ever forget that? Now, Murph, we're talking with Daniel Murphy. Josh Satin in studio. Daniel Murphy on the phone. Sal Licata here on the fan. David Wright having his number 5 retired tomorrow out at Citi Field. As somebody, Murph, who was often injured yourself, you know, bad luck, whatever you want to say, but you had to deal with a lot of rehabs throughout the course of your career. How impressive was it to watch your captain go through what he did just to come back and be able to contribute, whether it be that 2015 year or, you know, to get back on the field, period, at the end of his career here, just so his daughter could watch him take the field one last time?
Yeah, there's a real internal fortitude to do that, because rehabbing, and Josh has done it as well too, it's like, it's lonely. Like Support St. Lucie, it ain't the funnest place to be in the middle of the summer when nobody's down there. Like it's fun to be down there in March when all the Mets fans come down and you're cracking the ball around with some fans, but it takes a real choice to show up every single day and go through the nitty gritty grind of trying to get your body prepared. And honestly, now as I've gone back and looked at and listened to the documentary and got a chance to watch, and I didn't quite realize that David had been out since the end of April, that he had been pushing and working all the way for basically 4 months. Like that is a choice, sincerely, to come back and lay it on the line to get ready for your teammates and yourself and your city and your organization. And then even it wasn't like we got him back and like, oh, you're healthy. You know what I mean? In terms of he was healthy in terms of his production, but healthy, like you don't really have to do this stuff. He's showing up to the ballpark at 11 o'clock in the morning to try to get ready to post at 7. I think of it like this. Heading to the ballpark is one of the greatest joys in my life. At the same time, when you need to perform at 7, the earlier you get there, the anxiety levels raise just a little bit. You just like a little bit of teaspoon here, little. So he was able to handle the pressure of get my body healthy, lead this ball club, and I'm already here at work at 10 o'clock in the morning. It's not going to end till 10 o'clock at night because that's when the ball game's over. And so to do that over and over again for the next 3 months and lead us into the World Series the way he did, I'm sneaky. Like I just fall in behind the guys that can really play. Like nobody game plans for me, so I would just let them go game plan for David. And then all of a sudden, I'd pop up with runners on base and like make some contact and see what I could do. But like David is the guy that you focused on, and he welcomed that and performed better, even having that.
Murph, I think people were game planning for you when you left the Mets for sure. You just said something that I remember when I heard from you the first time. It was like so welcoming when you were talking about the anxiety. This has nothing to do with David, but the anxiety of showing up to the stadium and waking up. And I remember when you said like the kind of not relief, but like after the game is over until you fall asleep, that's like the easiest time of the day because you don't have to perform anymore. Can you like explain what I'm trying to say? Because when you told me that, because I felt that. And when you told me that, when we talked about, you know, this is 10 years ago, when you told me that for the first time and I heard it from someone like you, it was like, oh my God, like they understand, you know, it's not just me.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, everyone, you know, when we're aiming at something we want, we have a goal, like we're all going to get anxious over it, whether you know, whatever profession you're in. And then when that goal is basically achieved or the game is over, you kind of have this time like, I'm going to relax. So the last game is over and we don't have to worry about performing until tomorrow. And honestly, it was some of the coolest parts of that would be that was when we would be able to, like, David and I would hang out or you'd hang out. We'd play cards. Like, that was one of the ways we would just hang out to relieve stress. David was always looking to play cards. Like, he played cards before the game. He wanted to play cards after the game. And that was one of his ways he looked to relax. And also, he likes to compete. He's one of the few people I've found that when he's competing, he's relaxed. And, like, I don't always tick that way. Like, he just wants to compete over everything. The crap stresses me out. It just, he does it on the golf course. It don't matter what it is. He does it on Tiddlywinks. He does it on shooting hoops. But at the same time, when we're sitting around just, you know, shooting the crap, talking about the game before and, you know, suddenly getting ready for the next game after a ball game, playing cards, like, you really get a chance to really feel David's sincerity, like the type of husband he is to Molly and the type of father he is to his children. You spoke to it earlier, Sal, like, he wanted to get on the field so his kid could watch him play. That had to be so much for his body to go through. So while at the same time, like, the anxiety level, they're obviously lowered a little bit, you get a chance to, you know, almost get a little bit, you know, I would say, like, more intimate and know the individual more because we're not as kind of stressed out and working on, like, getting ready for the game. So, I hope that kind of explains it a little bit.
Yeah, it's great stuff right there. A couple more for you, Murph, and we appreciate your time. We're talking with Daniel Murphy. I had Sandy Alderson on yesterday to talk about David Wright, but I also asked him about you and how he, you know, made the mistake of letting you go after that incredible postseason in 2015. He said that he admitted to you, or not admitted, but he told you that that was the biggest regret that he's had as a general manager, letting you walk after that 2015 season. Does that more give you gratification saying, like, ha, I told you so, or annoy you knowing that you could have been even a longer-term Met and finish your career with one team?
Well, I'll answer it. Maybe. This is what I thought. The conversations I've had with Sandy, you know, since going to DC and now that, you know, I'm out of the game, I've just really enjoyed him. I think that his humility and willingness to admit, like, I would have liked to have handled this situation differently, which is us, you know, re-signing, you know, myself and my family to come back to New York. Like, I really think of that in terms of, like, I really honestly appreciate it and somewhat, I wouldn't say envious, but, like, I hope that one day if I'm in a spot like that, I'm willing to have that same humility. At the same time, like, it would have been awesome to stick around with David and Kevin Long coming off the run we did. But I never take it personally. Like, I don't think it wasn't malicious in nature. Like, I don't think Sandy went out into the open market thinking, you know, how can we replace Murphy? It was more, here's how the market's presenting itself. As Rubel Cabrera, Neil Walker, myself, Ben Zolas was available, I believe, that all season. And how the musical chairs shaked out was they felt more comfortable with Azrubel and Neil, and then I ended up in D.C. I think at the same time, to Sandy's credit, he didn't think I was going to keep and catch a heater the way I did in 2016. Like, it kind of caught a little bit of fire there, and, you know, the ball club in D.C. played well. So, like, nobody was going to predict that, I don't think. So it would have obviously, like, really been nice to be a Met, to be here for my entire career. I think that what David has been able to do and what he has is unique and something we're just not going to see. I don't like much at all anymore of players being able to wear one jersey for their whole career as long and as productively as number five did.
Yeah, of course you have that incredible postseason and they let you go. And again, he admitted the mistake, which is great, but you were second in the MVP voting with the freaking Nationals. You could have been the first Met ever to win the MVP. I mean, I know we got to move on, but you know, that one hurt a lot of Met.
Caught a heater, Sal.
Yeah,
caught a heater.
You caught a heater in October as well.
For 3 years, Murphy, yeah. You caught a heater. What are you talking about? At the end of the day, it's not a heater anymore. What did it last 3 years?
What about the...
You're a good friend, Sat. You're a good friend. I love you.
All right, what about the fantasy stuff? Josh was talking about that before. You getting set for your fantasy football season? Do you play with David? You're busting Josh's chops here. Go ahead. Give us your fantasy football stuff.
So I reach out to Josh as another fantasy football executive. We're not in any of the same leagues, but we end up talking. It's like American League, National League, talking to each other. Just kind of a couple executives bouncing ideas around. And then now that I have you, I'm in a league with David, and I love playing fantasy football with David because as competitive as you think he is, David's not going to lose a trade. Like, he will not lose. Full stop. So when you go and I go and, you know, kind of start talks with him and propose him stuff like this, you just, like, where do you think? I do sincerely try to go in there with stuff that's reasonable. And so he doesn't bat me away, but he'll just do responses sometimes like, who do you think you're talking to? You know I'm not going to do that. Like, why would you even send that to me? And so, but we end up, David and I end up hooking up on a trade last year. I do love David because he has a really good feel for, like, he started a little bit slower last year than he wanted. And so he probably needed to make a trade. I also tried to use Keith Miller as well, too, because Keith Miller's in the league as well. So his agent, our agent with Aces. And so, like, there, he's more competitive with Millsy than he is almost anybody. So he was playing Millsy, like, I think week four. And he was 0-3, David was. And I was like, smell a little blood in the water right here. And so, well, I was like, he can't really afford to lose another game if you want to make the postseason. And who wants to lose your kill shot to, like, your biggest rival and Millsy? So I go slide in there. And we end up working out a deal that was really fair. Unfortunately, David ended up with Rashee Rice, who got hurt, which kind of, like, you know, ended up kind of tarpooning his season. But negotiating with David is a treat. I really enjoy it. I have to have all my ducks in a row when I go there, else he'll bat me away. Like, you're just, what are you doing? So, yeah. And then Satin and I reach out to him about trade ideas or waiver wire pickups. Or, I have a lot of time on my hands. I do YouTube baseball videos and fantasy and chase these kids around. Like, just...
Like, when you send something to David, sometimes I'll get a text from him, a screenshot of what you texted him. And he's like, is Murph serious? And I'm trying to work the angle for you on the other side, though, Murph. I'm always like, yeah, that seems like a good deal for you, David.
Josh recognizes that it takes two of us to take down the Hefe. You know what I mean? So we end up trying to tag team him.
Murph, you're the man. We appreciate your few minutes. Enjoy it out there, whether you're tonight hanging out with the boys or tomorrow out there for David Wright and his retirement ceremony. Look forward to seeing you soon over at SNY. Thanks, Murph.
Oh, cheers, Sal. Thank you. All right, Sat, good talking to you. This is going to be a wonderful weekend. There's no better person on this planet to celebrate than David Wright. I'm humbled to be a part of it.
There you go. Daniel Murphy right there. That was fun. Hey, you guys, man. You get these fantasy leagues, the trash talking, the group chats. That's got to be a
one
fun
thing day. We didn't get into with him is we've been going on this little golf trip and we play pros versus Joes.
Yeah,
we're the Joes because David was better than us at baseball, and so it's me and Murph versus David and Ryan Zimmerman. And
so they're the pros, and you're the Joes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, even though Murph was like a great player, and we've never lost to them.
Whoa! Ever. See, that's the thing I'll bring up to David.
Ever.
That'll get in his craw a little bit.
It flusters them for sure, especially because Daniel, like, he gets a little funny and, like, you know.
Murph is the freaking
he's the
man,
best.
Dude.
And so it's always he and I, and we always win.
That is all. Hang out with me for one more segment. There's a call on the line. I want to talk to you. I want to get into a couple of other things with you, so hang out.